they were predicting thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms with the possibility of tornadoes. Now, that isn't anything new here in the Miami Valley, right? I mean, we hear that often. It's a strong thunderstorms, possible tornadoes, and like, okay, you know, it happens once in a while. And so that's not uncommon for us. And I commented to Teresa that evening. I said, you know, it's evenings like this that many of us have enjoyed a good day. And we did. We had family and friends over, and we had a great day. And we had a good evening together. And I said, it's not uncommon that you enjoy this and have a good evening. However, in a moment, with the passing of a tornado, lives can be turned upside down, including ours. And that, I said that. And sure enough, 17 confirmed tornadoes touched down in the Miami Valley. There's devastation all around us. Praise God for His grace of protection for many of us, especially here in Troy. Didn't see a lot of that, but not far away, we saw devastation. And there are many who may be saying, this couldn't have happened at a worse time. Why me? Why now? And just this morning, just coming into the service this morning, I had folks coming up to me and said, Pastor, I'm just going through a rough time. We had testimony of one of the ladies. She sang special music, special number in early service, and her husband lost vision in his eye this week. He can't see. The doctor said, you will not be able to see. And so there are folks who are going through difficult times here and maybe asking the same kinds of questions. We had plans. It might be retirement. We had plans. We had so much going, and we wanted to do so many special things. Or maybe there's someone here that says, we have a baby on the way. I don't have time for all of this turmoil going on. I started a new job, and now I have to deal with this, whatever this might be. I heard of one couple that moved into their house on Memorial Day. They moved into their house on Memorial Day and lost it that night because of the tornado. Wiped out. Why? Why me? Why at this time? And I'm sure you faced situations when God's timing was different than yours. I don't have time to deal with this illness. I don't have time to deal with this car repair. Why, God, why did it break down now? Or this leaky water heater? Or maybe someone praying, I just wish my child would start going to church and repent, get saved. Or I wish I could find the right guy or the right gal to marry. I just searching all over and I just can't seem to find the right one to marry. Or I just wish I knew what God wants for me in this particular situation. I wish God would just hurry up and take care of this for me. Well, last week we began a study through the book of 2 Thessalonians. We're calling this low volume, high impact letters from God. Small letters, but a lot to say to us. And we started last week on 2 Thessalonians. The Thessalonian Christians were struggling with the persecution and the afflictions of their day. They were being persecuted for their faith. And it very well could be that they couldn't find work. They lost their jobs. They couldn't keep their homes. God, what's going on? Many of them thought that the day of the Lord, that the tribulation that Jesus had spoken about, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation that the world faces, the judgment of God. 7 years of difficulties. And they had thought, the people in the Thessalonian church thought that the tribulation had started, that the day of the Lord was there. And then they had to deal with all of this persecution, all this trouble. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church to encourage them regarding their steadfast faith and their encouraging, enduring love. And we discussed that last week in chapter 1. And as we study chapter 2 today, you will discover that Paul clarifies the matter of the timing of the day of the Lord, this period of tribulation. And so your take-home thought this morning is God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. When it seems like His timing is off, just can't believe we've got to go through this. Can't believe we have to deal with a tornado in our lives, whatever that tornado may be. It may be even a literal tornado. Trust God. Trust Him. His timing is perfect. When you become overwhelmed by your circumstances, that often seems to be magnified because God isn't doing what we want Him to do when we want Him to do it. Trust Him. So I want to encourage you to take heart this morning based on three truths, all right? Three truths from this passage. Take heart. Here's the first one, and that is, things are not as bad as they will be. All right? Take heart. Things are not as bad as they will be. Sometimes we think that our circumstances could not get worse. Believe God. A day is coming when things will get worse. However, the day of the Lord, that day has not yet come. So don't be disturbed. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now, Paul is writing to the believers. He says, now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together into Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The point here is, have no fear. Have no fear. Isn't that often the struggle of our hearts when things become difficult? When a trial comes into your life, you begin to fear, right? And Paul appeals to the reader. He appeals to Christians. We ask you, verse 1, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. The phrase quickly shaken here has the idea of being easily toppled or destroyed. You ever play blocks with a kid? I mean, you play blocks with a little kid, And you start building something, you know. And what does the kid want to do? You know, knock it down. It's like, really? Come on. Work with me here, right? I want to build something. And so those blocks are easily toppled. He says, don't be like that. Don't be easily toppled. Don't be easily destroyed. Don't let the fear of the day of the Lord, that the day of the Lord has come, rock you. Don't let the thought, don't let a feeling, don't let a spoken report, or even a written report, even if it seemed like it came from the Apostle Paul himself, don't let it rock you because it isn't here yet. The Lord has not arrived, and the day of the Lord has not arrived. So realize God's got this, whatever this is in your life. But isn't that what happens when we hear bad news? The doctor comes into the room and says, you're never going to see again out of that eye. And that's what this couple heard just this last week. You're not going to see again out of that eye. Doctor comes in and says, you have cancer. You know, it's startling. And Paul is saying here, don't let these kinds of things rock you. The boss tells you that they're reorganizing and they're letting you go. You ever had someone come and say, hey, I just wanted you to know we're getting a divorce? Oh my. Or you get a phone call and says, we just need to inform you there's been an accident. Or you've been hit by a tornado. You know, these things come into our lives. And the point here is to take heart regardless to your circumstances. They are not beyond God. Now, as I look at this passage and was studying through, I thought, you know, he's teaching us about the day of the Lord and the timing of the day of the Lord. And we're not even going to be here. So what is the point of all of this? Why do I need to know this now? And the point here is, you know what? God's got this. When His timing seems to be off, no, listen, He's got it, whatever it is in your life. Take heart, regardless to your circumstances. They're not beyond God. There's a song out, I don't know if you've heard it recently, but it's fairly new. Fear is a liar. Have you heard that? Fear is a liar. Fear says, All is lost. There is no hope for you in this situation. God's way is too hard. Have you ever said that? Oh, God, this is just too much. No. God's got this. Why were they not to believe that the day of the Lord had not arrived? Well, because such a report is a lie. It was a lie. There were people spreading the idea, oh, yep, well, this is it. This is the day of the Lord. The tribulation has arrived. It was not God's timing. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. You see, fear grows when you believe lies. They were fearful because they were believing the lies of that day. And that day, that the lie of that day was the day of the Lord is here. This is it. This is the tribulation. And isn't that how fear grows in your heart? I was thinking of some lies that we believe. You know, one lie is God has forgotten me. He's left me. That's a lie. How do we know that? Because of what God's Word said, Hebrews 13:5. God says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you. He is with you always. And when we feel like He's abandoned us, no, you have to remind your heart that's a lie. Because the truth is, God is never going to leave me. He will never forsake me. That thought alone can help you and encourage you through the tornado of your life. Another lie is God's not fair. You know, just God is not God. This isn't fair. You're not being fair. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints as you still do. God is not only with you, but He is just. Whatever that situation that may seem unfair, you need to be reminded. You know what? God is just. He's not going to forget your faithfulness in and through your life. Here's another one. I just can't do it. This is too much. I can't do it, God. Remember Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to do the doing, but you can't do it yourself. You can only do it through Christ who gives you the strength. See, I can't do it. Yeah, you're right. You can't. But you can through Christ who strengthens you. You see, I can do all things through Christ. See, we believe the lie. I just can't do it. And then we tend to throw our arms up and give up. No, you remind yourself of the truth, not the lies, but the truth of God's Word, to help you, to sustain you through whatever tornado you may face in your life. And that day will not come until or unless the Antichrist arrives on the scene. That's what verses 3 and 4 says there. The Antichrist will spark a rebellion. It's described here. He's described here. Look at the text. Verse 4, there, as the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, who opposes God and everything that is right and exalts himself to the point of worship, proclaiming himself to be God. Just before the early service, Pastor Nate was given announcements welcoming everybody. He says, thank you for coming to worship us. I mean to worship with us. The Antichrist is, that's what he's going to do. So he's going to say, hey, thanks for worshiping me. Because that's what he wants. He wants to be worshipped. That day has not yet come. Regardless of what Pastor Nate says. But that's what's true. What is true is what we read here in the text concerning the Antichrist. So you think things are bad now? Take heart. Because things are going to get worse. But you don't have to be here. Amen? You know, do you think things are bad now? Things are going to get worse, but you don't have to be here. Be encouraged. Paul reminds the readers that he had previously taught them about this matter. Look at verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? He was saying, hey, I've already taught you these things, but hey, it's okay. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to keep teaching you so that you get this. And you know what is straining him now. So you know what is straining him now so that he may be revealed in his time, God's time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You know, isn't that true? I mean, you look at the news, you look at just life around you, and it's like lawlessness is just encroaching upon us. It's just, you know, just kind of pushing in on us. And you hear about this. You heard about that guy at Times Square who was planning an attack on Times Square. You know, he's buying the stuff to attack Times Square just this last week. And it's there. It's like it's encroaching upon us. It's coming in, man. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. All right? It hasn't happened yet. Only he who now restrains it will do so, verse 7, until he is out of the way. What is this, what's the point here? Here it is. And that is, you won't be here when that happens. Amen. That's hallelujah. You won't be here. Why? Because the power of the restraining Holy Spirit is taken away. Now, there's various views of this text, but this text, this encourages my heart. I believe this is the most accurate biblically concerning the explanation of this text. Right now, the Holy Spirit is present on this earth in the lives of believers. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit of God. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, living within you. At the moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, at the moment of belief. Doesn't happen sometime later. It happens at the moment of belief. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you to strengthen you, to enable you to do what He desires, what God desires you to do. And He will be taken away when? Upon the rapture of the church. Because the Holy Spirit is in all believers. When the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit in His restraining power will be taken away. I understand I'm the presence of God, all right? God's omnipresent. But His restraining power will be taken away because you and I, as believers, live as salt and light in a darkened world, that they, the world, may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's not going to be here because we're going to be gone. See? Things are going to get worse, but you don't have to be here if you trust Him as Savior. And there's that undertow of lawlessness even now. But it is restrained due to the fact that we live as believers and have the indwelling Spirit. And we're present on this earth at this time. So when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's ministry will be different. It will be much like the Old Testament. Listen, you and I as believers, we're blessed because we have the Holy Spirit in us, indwelling us. In the Old Testament, that wasn't the case. In the tribulation, that won't be the case. We live in what's called the church age, where we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. I think it's going to be like you know, we think about going to heaven, and we think about, man, what it'll be so cool to talk to Moses and Elijah and Daniel, and what was it like when you were in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you were thrown in the fire and Jesus was with you? I think they're going to come to us and say, man, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you? You know? I mean, we are blessed, and oftentimes we don't even realize how blessed we are. That is going to be taken away upon the rapture of the church. And so His ministry during the tribulation, there are people going to get saved during the tribulation. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them to accomplish specific tasks for a specific purpose for a specific time. And then He won't stay with them like He stays with you and me now. God's still present, yes. But it's just going to be different. It's going to be different like it was in the Old Testament. And so this restraining power will not be present, it will not be evident as it is now, which allows the Antichrist to rule and reign for this period of time. Verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. God will overcome evil. Another good place for a good amen. God's going to overcome evil. In this world we shall have tribulation, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So take heart. Though the lawless one will be revealed, the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth upon the Lord's return. However, look at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. You think that things couldn't get worse? Well, the Antichrist's rule will be dominated by wickedness and deception for those who refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth of God, the truth of His Word? And the love for the truth will be evident by your desire to obey it. And first of all, in the matter of salvation, did you ever think of salvation? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is an invitation to come to Him. But it's not only an invitation, He commands us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about that? That belief, trusting in Christ, coming to Him in salvation is a matter of obedience? So again, are you certain of your salvation? If you're not, we want to help you with that. Because that's how you can have the greatest hope during whatever tribulation, whatever tornado comes ripping through your life, is through the matter of salvation. So obey Him for salvation, and then grow in your love for His Word with a commitment to obey His Word, to hear these words of the Lord and put them into practice. There's stability in that. Don't be like the unsaved of the tribulation period because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, verse 11, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God will condemn unbelief. God will condemn unbelief. The unbelievers will experience delusion. They will believe lies and will therefore be condemned because they did not believe the truth and took pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, sinfulness is going to be rampant. Again, you're starting to see this in our culture and all around us. That which was evil is now called good. And what's good is now evil. It's encroaching. It's happened, but it hasn't happened yet to the extent that it will. So, take heart. Here's the final thought, and that is, be encouraged in the here and now. In light of these truths, be encouraged in the here and now. Look at verses 13 and 14. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the encouragement here is to rejoice in your position. What's your position in relationship with God? Well, look at the text, verse 13. You are beloved. You know, talk about a point of encouragement. You know, isn't it a blessing when you know you're loved? Well, if you don't think anybody else loves you, get this, God does. You're beloved. And you are chosen by God. Think about that. Chosen by God. Not because of who you were or how good you are. He chose you because of His grace, His mercy upon you. You are chosen by God. You are sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God. You believe in the truth. You are called through the gospel. You know, all of these things just should wow. It refreshed you, encouraged you. The gospel is good news. And you will be glorified in the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about us and how great we are, but it will be glorified in Him as we identify with Him as His children. So then, verse 15, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. The encouragement here is to be steady in your faith. Paul appeals to you and me to stand firm, to be steady, to be stationary, to persevere. Hold to the traditions. And another way to translate that is the transmissions that you are taught by us. And Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. He's not talking about unbiblical traditional practices. Some have thought, well, you know, you have the traditions of the church. We've always done it this way before. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the truths that he passed on to him. Look back at verse 5. I've taught you these things before. He's passing it on. He's transmitting it to them. He's talking about the transmissions here of the faith. He's talking about biblical truth. And he's challenging them to hold the biblical truth. And then in verse 16, now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. The encouragement here is to display peace by your practice. Your peace and your comfort is based upon God and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and what He did by saving your soul. And that should result then in every good work. By the things you do, by your what you do and what you say. By every good work and word, what you do and what you say. It should be evident that Jesus is in you. So, in the middle of your difficulty, whatever that may be, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of the tornado that has ripped through your life, in the middle of your difficulty, trust God's perfect timing. He's at work. He's in the trouble. He's up to something. He's up to something good. Find out where and how He's at work. Get involved in what He's doing and expect good effects. Romans 8:28, and we know, not hope, not wonder, not anything else. We know that all things work together for good to those who love Him. We know that. Why? Because He's promised it in His Word that He is at work. So oftentimes when God's timing is different than ours, in this passage, you've discovered that there was confusion about God's timing regarding the timing of events in their lives. And so are you struggling with whatever it is that you're going through in life? We go back to His Word. Hopefully you think about this passage here, you know. But there are other passages. Think about Noah. You know, Noah says, hey, you know, the world's... The sinfulness, lawlessness of the world was encroaching upon him. Build an ark. And so he starts building this ark and says, how big does it need to be? It's going to be really big. You know, look at how big it is by going down to Kentucky there. They got one built down there. 120 years before the flood came. God, what are you doing? Think of Abraham. Waiting for an heir, you know, waiting all this time, waiting for an heir. And he's beyond childbearing age. And then God finally, you know, there's no way this could happen. There's no way we can have kids. I can't produce kids. My wife can't. She's too old to have a baby. And lo and behold, she's pregnant. They have the son of promise, Isaac. God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. What? I mean, you've promised to go into a land, I'll show you, I'll make you a great nation, make your name great, and he's the start of this great nation. You want me to sacrifice him? The Lord's going to provide. And he did. How about Moses, growing up as son of Pharaoh? He thought, hey, here's my opportunity. I'm going to free the people of Israel, my people. I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Jew. I'm going to free them. He kills a guy. Says, you know, and it didn't happen. He says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm out of here. And he goes into the wilderness and lives in another place for 40 years. And God says, go down, Moses, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And so he goes down and he says, Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, after a time, finally says, come on, people, let's go. And they go through the Red Sea, and they go up to Kadesh Barnea, and they're ready to go into the Promised Land, and the spies come back and say, man, there are giants in the land. And the people vote, and they say, we don't want to go into the land. And Moses is like, really? I mean, I've already been 40 years in the wilderness. Now I got to go through 40 more years in the wilderness? God, you know, you could just, Scripture doesn't say that, but it's got 40 more years in the wilderness. They couldn't go into the Promised Land because of the disobedience of the people. And now he gets to get ready to go into the Promised Land. And God says, no, you can't go in because you were disobedient too. But God says, you're not going to go into that Promised Land. I'm going to take you to the real Promised Land. Hey, I'm going to take you to the real Promised Land. Think of David. You know, David, here David was anointed as king. Saul, you know, He had no heart for God. So God was going to bring now, he was the people's choice. David now was God's choice. He had a whole heart for God. He was anointed as king. And from what I've read and looking at the scriptures, and it took upwards to 10 years before he finally became king. He had opportunities to kill Saul. Saul was not God's anointed. Saul was not God's pick for that. And yet, David says, I'm not going to kill God's anointed. 10 years, finally, Saul is killed in battle and David becomes king. You go through the scriptures and you just think, what about God's timing and all of these things? Romans 15:4, these things were written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Not only 2 Thessalonians, you can go through the scriptures and our digging deeper thought here is there for you to study and pray about how you can learn from someone in the Old Testament there and about God's timing and how you can guard against bitterness in your own life by believing the truths that God has for you and me through His Word. In the middle of the difficulties that we face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for the truths of your word. And so often we get into the middle of the difficulties of our lives and we panic, we fear. And here in the text, you have taught us not to believe the lies that press in upon us, but to trust you. And I pray, God, that every one of us in our hearts would be looking to you and at any time when we are tempted to be fearful, when we're tempted to shake our fist at you even, to remember, no, you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you'll help us through the valley of the shadow of death. May we fear no evil because you are with us. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, claim the truths of God's Word. Believe what God says, not what the lies of the evil one tells you, but claim the truths of God's Word and gain hope and encouragement through whatever it is that you face. And I'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you or through YouVersion or through our website. And jot down maybe a struggle of your heart. Maybe it's a note of praise. Maybe it's a question about salvation. You're not certain that you are saved. You're not certain of eternal life. And you have a question about that. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. But we'll be praying for you about these matters. We're going to take an offering in just a moment. You can place your connection card in the offering. And then when Jeremy has a stand, if you'd like someone to pray with you or you need some counsel or encouragement, I'll be down front here and I'll greet you. I'll have someone pray with you. Or if you'd like to talk with me after the service, I'll be in the back. Father, help us. Thank you for these truths of encouragement. May we live to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.